Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, Lara.
Morena.
How are you this morning?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, I've had a few conversations with people as to what their kind of like job would be if we were in a war.
Oh, man.
But other than that, pretty good. One of the scientists I talked to yesterday was like, yeah, see, this is why I want to go to med school. And I'm like, look, don't give me ideas.
Wow, yeah, it's a crazy time out there. And the drama closer to home doesn't stop either. Everyone's got a close eye on Luxon with these pretty shocking poll results, eh?
They sure do. I mean, I think we're all a bit Luxoned out at this point because there's been a lot of commentary over the past few days about it and just a real kind of media obsession to the point that it kind of feels almost like a bit much.
Mm.
But I noticed that today some of the tide has turned a bit and people are moving away from the polls. Although the caucus meeting, so caucus is when all the MPs meet from a party, and the caucus in National at the current time controls who the leader of the National Party is and therefore who the Prime Minister is.
Mm.
So they're meeting today. And so there'll be maybe a little bit more attention paid to it today. But a key item here is that it's been reported that Chris Bishop was the person who would be most likely to try and challenge Luxon, and he's in India on work, so he's away.
Mm.
So I think this might fizzle out, this one, eh? Like, we'll see. I mean, I never try and predict things, to be honest, but it kind of is leaning more towards probably fizzling out, I mean, this week anyway.
Yeah, right, because there's a couple of arguments here, right? Like, Luxon says that the only poll that really matters is Election Day. But then the actual poll result itself is put National on 28.4%, which is the lowest result that they've had since he became leader. So that's pretty bad at the start of an election year. How do we look at this? Should we be paying this much attention to polls?
Well, what we do with polls, those of us who study them and kind of write on them and even try and run them from time to time, we tend to look at the trend line on a given poll. And if we zoom out and we look at the Taxpayers Union Courier poll, which is by a, you know, like, again, funded by a right-wing organisation and led by someone who is very involved in the National Party.
Mm.
If we zoom out on that, we see a 10-point drop since they became government, and that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to think of actually a party that's had that, a major party that's had that in New Zealand for quite some time. I don't even think that happened to Labour after 2017. They weren't doing so great. But so it's a big drop off. And so what we now need to look at, I think, as the public and as people following politics, is looking at what happens in the other poll. So are the other poll is going to have a similar drop? Because when you see a drop in a poll, it can be many different things. One can be sampling error or like any kind of, like, that's basically just the stats of it, that, oh, you got a different group this time, or something, you know, your weighting got thrown off by different patterns of participation, or all sorts of technical things. It could be that. You know, we can expect numbers to fluctuate by as much as 5% of that number, but this is a bit more than that. So we can expect numbers to fluctuate, or it could be a downward trend, and that actually that performance by Luxon on Iran on, you know, this week in the press has been so bad that people are going and turning away from National. And what we would expect in conditions of war generally in politics is something called a rallying around the flag effect, and it's by political psychologists over this past 30 years, and especially in relation to 9/11, is that when nations are in crisis, or in this case, you know, there's a global instability or crisis, people tend to stick to the leader in power currently. So, you know, again, there's lots of reasons why we would expect there to not be a big drop, but we need to kind of see what the trend is now going forward. And I think if they're consistently getting in the 20s, that's going to be something that we just kind of keep talking about, and then potentially something happens.
Yeah, I mean, Luxon obviously is doubling down and saying that he's got no reason to budge, which I guess is sort of what we'd expect from a leader in terms of reacting to a bad poll, right?
Yeah, I think what you have to do, even if it's like in your gut you kind of know that you need to go, and we've seen kind of Andrew Little actually reflect on this quite a bit, you know, out there in the media and bits and pieces where he did go and then Jacinda Ardern became leader of Labour.
Mm.
I think even if it's in your gut you kind of feel that you might need to go, you still need to present strong to the public to the end, and then kind of turn around and say, well, you know, it was the right decision for the party. I think you need to do that. And especially in this case, you know, Luxon's, what, not even into one term as leader, you would kind of expect someone to just present very strongly to the public. And, you know, he does have the sort of same rehearsed lines, you know, and say, oh, I'm not going to talk about polls, but then talks about the poll. And he's been talking about, you know, things like, well, the economy is starting to turn around, but New Zealanders need to feel the economy is better, which is it's true, A-plus Luxon. But it's kind of like going to be quite hard for him to keep saying that because, of course, the other big thing that's underlying all of this is that threat of global instability and war and oil prices. So he's just kind of out there selling it still, and that's just what you can broadly expect on any leader to do, I think, in any kind of circumstance like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of those circumstances and oil prices, let's get into a little bit about what we might see in terms of the immediate effects of the war kicking off in the Middle East and what we might see happen in terms of our economy here. I know it's sort of, it feels crazy when, you know, people are dying and then their focus is on, like, how much is going to affect us. But if we are to look at the immediate impacts here, what are we going to see happen?
Yeah, it's always hard when you're thinking of, like, you know, these, like, deaths of children.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful to then have to be thinking, oh, like, local policy, like, will it cost us more at the pump?
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of a bit of the nature of politics, eh? So if we think about this domestically, and again, like, I'm a New Zealand politics person, but it's generally where I focus,
mm-hmm.
we have to think about, like, different ways that this could play out in the public. So, like, if you had a long-term, you know, if this war keeps going on and the conflict keeps going on and there's lots of talk about fuel security, energy security, bits and pieces like that, and we then see, you know, like, fossil fuel prices go up, oil go up, and then that costs, you know, New Zealand farmers more, that costs whoever, manufacturers, whatever they're doing, any businesses in New Zealand more, then we're starting to see, you know, more economic pain or hardship, and we're starting to see fewer people get employed, more people getting laid off. You know, like, we're seeing knock-on economic effects.
Mm.
Now, the big question for the election is that I've seen a lot of commentary already where it's like, okay, this is going to be bad for Luxon and Willis because the economy is going to go down, and, like, economy up equals national good, national happy equals good election result.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, actually, like, look, I think the public are a bit smarter than that, you know, kind of going, oh, well, like, there's a war. So perhaps people will actually turn around and think, hey, there's actually, like, an excuse or a reason for the economy to be bad at this point. So I'm not 100% sure what will happen there, because we know that, you know, the cost of living, economy, inequality, whatever we frame it as, is a huge election issue for everyone in the country. So the real question is, how will people evaluate the economy in a few months' time? And, like, to take Luxon's words, will they feel good about it? You know, will they start to be feeling better about it? That's what it's looking like, that, things like oil prices will affect our economic outcomes. But, how will people attribute it? That's going to be the big question for the election.
I really wonder how the government is reflecting on their decision to have such a late election date now that things are really kicking off. I guess it gives them a bit more time for things to hopefully, for everyone's sake, settle down a little bit. But it also gives a bit more room for things to really kick off if they do.
Totally. And this is the thing where instantly I did think, oh, wow, like, such a late election. You've then now got this circumstance where the economy's not going to improve in the way that you guys wish, but in a way, actually, the later that they can go, the better in that. There is, of course, the good old Helen Clark, and I think it was 2002, calling a July sort of election where you've got that quick turnaround, because the critics say they were polling well, so they did that on purpose. So I don't know, like, whether a sooner one would be better in this case. It doesn't look like that would be the case anyway, that they actually do want it, that long lead-in time to watch the polling trend line. And, you know, if they were to change leader as well, that's the other thing. If they were to change leader, you'd want to do it in these next few months as well, so the public's got long enough to form an impression of the new leader.
Mm.
So, it's like, again, like, I'm bummed because children are dying, but, like, it's going to be there's going to be a lot happening this election year for sure. And there being a war in the Middle East adds that other layer of, like, just complete unpredictability. As a spectator, you're like, oh, this is interesting. But as a human, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, hard. It's definitely the classic wait and see gag of politics.
Mm.
Right?
Or, like, the poll that really matters is the poll on election day.
Okay, Luxon.
That's a classic. I don't know who coined that phrase, but seriously, it's just, So cheesy, but you know, it is true, but it's cheesy.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, thank you very much, Lara, for another great political commentary. We'll keep our eyes on the news and catch up next week, eh?
Yeah.
Awesome. Kia ora. Kia ora, ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.